Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island, proud supporter of live music and driven to think big about beer since 1988. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago, Illinois. Think big about beer.
You're listening to Sound Opinions. I'm Greg Kot here with my partner, Jim DeRogatis. And later in the show, we're going to break down shoegaze, a genre that could make your ears bleed, but also put a smile on your face. It certainly does on ours.
Yeah.
But first, we've got new music from Priests. That is Jesus Son, a new song from Priests, a Washington, D.C. band. The new album is The Seduction of Kansas, their second album. Their debut came out in 2017, Nothing Feels Natural. We reviewed it here on the show, Jim, and we both loved it. I think it was one of the most fully realized debut albums we'd both heard in quite a while. And there was a reason for that. This band has been gigging around the Washington, D.C. area and the region since 2012, releasing independent recordings on their own sister Polygon Records label, a true DIY band, not only key players in that scene, but helping other bands release music as well. So when they came out with that 2017 debut, they sounded like a fully formed band. They've had a point of view. They had a sound. They got well-reviewed. They started playing some festival shows. Now we have album number two, The Seduction of Kansas. The band has trimmed down a bit. The bassist moved on to a different project, and it's a core trio now, vocalist Katie Alice Greer, guitarist G.L. Jaguar, and drummer Danielle, with touring bassist joining the band in the studio, as well as a producer. The first time they've actually worked with an outside guy outside of the Washington, D.C. scene, John Congleton, who seems to be working with just about everybody.
He's on like one out of every three records we've reviewed in the last year.
And quite a few of them are very good. We're going to give you an opinion on Priest's The Seduction of Kansas in a minute, but here's a track from it first, Ice Cream from Priests on Sound Opinions.
That is Ice Cream by Priests from its second proper album. What a song. I'm hearing X-Ray Specs in there.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. But they have that attitude that refused to acknowledge genre boundaries, where if they are interested in, appropriately enough, some shoegaze elements to their music, some chaos noise elements to their music, some fairly straightforward punk a la Ramones or Wire, all of it's going into their mix. But Mr. Kot, I'm going to wax English professor on you and talk about the lyrics here. The title comes from, the title of the album comes from Tom Frank's really influential 2005 book, What's the Matter with Kansas?
Yeah.
Where Frank, he was arguing that so many people in the white, lower middle class, working class, the farmers of America, are voting against their interests for moral reasons, supporting economic policies that would only hurt them more. And, you know, what's fascinating about this new Priest's record, Seduction of Kansas, is trying to have empathy for the other side, for lack of a better term, at this moment of great American division. It is not a "we are the resistors, you are the evil" record. They are trying to get inside the head of other people who are at each other's throats. It's a cliche among pundits, you know, this new American Civil War, right? But it exists, and it's real. And we've never had such disdain for people who disagree with us in America. So over this ferocious musical backing, priests are dealing with some very, very heavy issues. It's really super sophisticated, and none of this detracts from the sheer bang your head on the wall joy of this noisy chaos.
Well, that's what I loved about the first record, that you had this sort of serious side of the band, sort of an I dare say intellectual side to the band. They're thoughtful people, social and political viewpoints expressed in a very eloquent manner, as you said, combined with this very accessible music. The first record was incredibly danceable. This one is as well.
There's more electronic on this record that ups the dance.
More electronic and more variety of instruments. You know, I'm hearing some marimba in here, some mellotron. You know, I mean, they're experimenting with a wide variety of sounds and instrumentation. I still think that G.L. Jaguar is a genius guitar player. The tone, you know, treating it as a sound machine as opposed to something that plays, you know, notes. I think the lyrics do reward deeper investigation. I think the broader story here is that, you know, this is about storytelling. We tell ourselves stories that become myths, and then we start to believe them and thinking, oh, that's how things really are.
Fake news.
You know, that line from the title track, a drawn-out, charismatic parody of what a country thought it used to be. And that's how we're, you know, America is right now, in that sort of, you know, we have this idea of who we are, and then, but what are we really, you know? And there's a disconnect there.
I really think
really
this is like part two to that Superchunk album we both loved last year.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. I think the Superchunk album was probably a little more direct. This is perhaps more elliptical lyrically, but it's just as hard hitting. It's a great record. Share your thoughts on Priest by calling 888-859-1800 and leaving us a message. Now let's take a critical look at shoegaze.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and that is the song Only Shallow by My Bloody Valentine from its 1991 album Loveless. That song and that album is really the hallmark of shoegaze, a genre we thought deserved the Sound Opinions dissection treatment. We've probably mentioned the term shoegaze or shoegazer probably three or four dozen times a year. It's a period of rock history and a sound that is still very much au courant in current bands taking their inspiration from this period in England in the late 80s and early 90s. I'm going to start by talking a little bit about the name and the sound, and then you'll give us an historical context, and we'll hopefully take listeners through what was worth celebrating about the shoegazer moment? Let's start with that weird name, first of all, right? The English press from the beginning was rather cynical and snarky about this new movement of young bands circa 88, 89, 1990, just before grunge really exploded in the U.S., this scene in England. It was of quiet, thoughtful young musicians, many of them art school educated, and they were not very vociferous on stage. They stood and they looked at their shoes while turning out this amazing noise. There was a big inspiration from bands in the U.S. like Dinosaur Jr. and Sonic Youth, which had preceded the shoegazer bands in the U.K. by five or more years in the middle of the indie rock 80s in the U.S., but there was a little bit more attention to history. All of this is intertwined with the entire lineage of psychedelia in British rock and American rock. You know, it wasn't just this moment in San Francisco in 67. It was an approach to the studio and an approach to making this massive noise on stage that, you know, you didn't have to be a great frontman, an Iggy Pop or something. You know, you could just concentrate on letting the noise do the talking for you. That was what shoegaze was about sonically. But where did it come from historically?
Jim, you're absolutely right. These bands were students of rock history. They were coming at it from a tradition that extends back several decades, I think, to look at the roots of where shoegaze was coming from. You know, this whole notion of looking at the guitar as not something that was strictly designed to play blues-based chord progressions or notes or have that sort of feel. It was a hunk of wire and wood, and it was essentially a sound machine. And I think you go back to those records by the Velvet Underground in the mid to late 60s as a template for a lot of what was going on.
I just like Sister Ray with an arm.
There's a lineage, you know, New York City, Velvet Underground to Sonic Youth to the No Wave bands with Glenn Branca, stacking those guitars on top of each other. You mentioned Dinosaur Jr. out of Massachusetts in the 80s as an indie rock precursor. A lot of those proto-punk bands out of Detroit, the Stooges and the MC5 when they were doing some of their more freeform experiments. I would even cite the 8 Miles High era Byrds out of the West Coast California scene as an influence on this sound.
You know what, Greg, though? 1989 was a particular watershed year because you had a lot of critics in London and in New York saying everything that could be done with two guitars, bass, and drums has been done. Guitars are passé. And in the indie rock American scene, you had guitar bands very much saying, you know, wait a minute, guitars aren't done. We can still do new things with them. And then the Brits picked it up, and that's really where shoegaze is coming in.
Yes, you know, in the 80s, you started to see elements of this bubbling into this dream pop sound that was, again, a term coined by the UK press. Groups like A.R. Kane and the Cocteau Twins having this sort of dreamy, atmospheric sound with the way they were using guitars. And the whole overdriven guitar sound of the Jesus and Mary chain, mm-hmm. or even the psychedelic post-punk of somebody like Spaceman 3 or Chameleons, you started to see this bubbling out. So coinciding with what was going on in the UK at the time, you had the grunge scene out of the Pacific Northwest. You had the Madchester scene in Manchester in the UK with Stone Roses, Happy Mondays, Charlatans UK, combining dance elements with this sort of trippy psychedelia. So you had this flowering, the first real flowering, I think, commercially, of punk music on a commercial spectrum. Post-punk, non-mainstream approach to record making and songwriting. And I think a lot of the shoegaze bands were very much influenced by punk. You cannot say that enough. Even though they were using these long-form guitar parts, they weren't really playing solos as such. They were orchestrating the guitars to create these enveloping atmospheres.
That's right, Greg. It can't be overstated that while the records may occasionally seem dreamy and trance-inducing, hypnotic, to see these bands live, and we're going to talk about the key members of this shoegaze class later, was often overwhelming. It was like, shear the top of your head off with some of the loudest music you've ever heard, and you have to leave with your ears bleeding, and you've never been happier. Let's talk about making the albums, because there are two consistents in most of the shoegaze story. Number one is Creation Records, started by a Scotsman named Alan McGee, a great character who we've talked about in the past on Sound Opinions, and the other is his favorite engineer, Alan Moulder. Alan Moulder would become a key figure because he worked with all of the key, really important British shoegaze bands, Swerve Driver, My Bloody Valentine, Ride, and then he would go on to bring that influence to America with bands like the Smashing Pumpkins and Nine Inch Nails. I think he was the real catalyst, the line, if there was one to be drawn, between the American alternative scene and what had proceeded in Britain. Now, shoegazer was a derisive term. The English critics were throwing this at a lot of these bands, saying, you know, they're no fun to watch. Another term that got added later on was the scene that celebrates itself. Because some of these kids had come from Oxford. We were going to make fun of them for thinking who they were, as we would say in New Jersey, right? Alan McGee was also picked on by the British press. Now, Simon Reynolds, one of the celebratory critics of many of these bands, he did have a thing against Creation. He said it was all retro, it was all nostalgia. All of this music is rooted in the past. It's just repeating itself. He was pushing for something different. He did champion one of the bands above and beyond, and that was My Bloody Valentine.
That's right, Jim. We talk about them and other key shoegaze bands when we return to our genre dissection after a short break. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.